Good evening, everybody. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to bring you all a lesson. And it'll be brief, but nonetheless, I hope everybody's able to take something from it. So I'll be starting out in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And if you turn with me to Revelations chapter 12, starting in verse 12, it says, therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, I started here because these are verses that we're all familiar with, but they're also explicit warnings to us from God about how active and busy the devil is. He uses descriptions as walking about like a roaring lion, and woe unto you, inhabitants of the earth. That being said, should it surprise us when we turn on the news and we see that somebody's shot into a crowd and killed 60 people, or you see what's going on overseas, and people are blowing each other up, and it's just all types of wickedness going on. All right, when we see that, it should vex us the same way that it vexed Lot. But with these things, there's another temptation, okay? Because we know that Satan is quite crafty. At times he's bold, but at times he's subtle, like he was with Eve. So the temptation is that at times we can get so caught up in everything that's going on, we say, oh man, well, I'm not that bad, or I've never done anything like that. We fall into this sense of security where we lose sight of what our prize is, who our real measuring stick is, and we're trying to compare ourselves to non-believers, okay? So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 48. Luke 12, 48. But he that knew not did commit things worthy of stripes. Verse 46, starting at verse 46, I'm sorry. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. Okay. So kind of alluding to what I was saying, as we can see in this situation now, we be the servant and Christ will be our Lord. But we're held to a much higher standard than most of the people we talk to on a regular basis. And definitely the people we see on TV committing crimes against humanity. Okay, now, I think it's a good thing that we don't have any serial killers among us, because if we did, we'd have other issues. But, you know, we can feel good about that at least, all right? Now, if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, starting verse 16. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy. Again, I messed up. Galatians 5, I'm sorry. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, even if we avoid the things that would be seemingly the big issues, even though we know everything that God lists that we shouldn't do in his word is a big issue, but we'll just say, you know, the things that seem like the big ones, even if we avoid those, what about the issues that can creep into the church, you know, such as seditions and strifes and envyings among our brothers and sisters, okay? That's something that a lot of people may not think about, but it's torn a lot of brotherhoods apart, right? And if you turn with me to Revelations 3, 14, 21... Revelation 3, starting in verse 14 through 21. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And unto the angel, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold and tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with him, with my Father in his throne. Okay. So this is kind of another example of what I was talking about. We can get to the point to where we're so complacent and just so, well, I'm not that bad, that we either flat out turn all the way altogether, or we can be lukewarm. Now, if that's the case, God said he'd rather be us cold or rather us be hot. Because if we're just warm, we're going to end up in the same place as the devil. Okay, and we're going to be warm right with him, all right? And that's not somewhere I want to end up, so I don't know. Now, if you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 18. For when they speak great swollen words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he bought in bondage. Okay. In verse 19, while they promise them liberty, for if they, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For if it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Okay. So this right here, this just says to me that if we begin looking elsewhere, anywhere else other than Christ as a measuring stick, or like I said earlier, just flat out turn away, this is a situation that we can end up in. Okay. He says that us knowing better, It would be better for us not have known anything than for to, you know, overcome corruption than to go right back into it. Okay. And again, you also see a parallel back in the Luke where he, you know, the Lord had the two servants, and one knowing better didn't do what he was supposed to do. It's the same kind of parallel, because like I said, if we overcome corruption, go back into right what we were doing, it's the same kind of deal that we're going to end up in, all right? Now, If you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And if you go down to verse 16 with me, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So again, we need to keep our eyes on the prize, because our ultimate goal is perfection. Without the word of God, without Christ, it's impossible to reach, especially if we're, you know, looking in every other direction, because we don't want to face where we are spiritually, and we're trying to compare ourselves to somebody that has no interest in doing God's will. Now, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We are to look unto one another, being of the same mind and of the same body, for strength and encouragement. Okay, that's what he built the church for. That's what we have each other for. Okay, someone who is stronger should be the example to somebody who may be weaker. All right. And if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, like I said, it keeps going back to what I said earlier. We shouldn't be the ones being influenced by people on the outside, but we should be setting an example for others so that they can follow. Because ultimately, what's our goal other than to become like Christ? Is to teach the word to others so that they may be added to the body. So with that, that's what we need to be doing. Okay? In Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Okay. And I really just want to conclude in 2 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. Now, ultimately, God doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody in his body to perish, and he doesn't want anyone in the world to perish. That being said, we need to focus on what our goal is as Christians, okay? Like I said in the beginning, it's so easy to get caught up in everything else that's going on that we lose sight of what we need to be doing. Excuse me, my tongue is getting all twisted up. But so let's just be mindful of that, because I'm sure it's something that we've all done before. We've seen something like, man, I'm not that bad, and we want to feel better about ourselves. But let's keep in mind where we're at and where we need to be as Christians. And I thank you for your time, and I hope that everybody took something from it. Mr.